Welcome to Pitcot Podcast. This is the deep dive, where we take the sources you, the listener, provide, strip away all the fluff, and hand you the core insights you need to get well-informed fast.
Today, we are undertaking a deep dive into a world where creativity meets commerce. We're talking about how to turn a passion for photography into a real, flexible, and financially viable freelance career.
That's right. And this is really for you, the learner, who has a great camera, and that dream of calling your own shots, literally. This analysis pulls straight from Pitcot's best-selling materials.
It really is a structured step-by-step roadmap for making that transition from hobbyist to, well, to professional.
We're basically extracting the highest value nuggets of knowledge to really shortcut your learning curve.
And that's our mission, right? To synthesize these proven practices. Everything we're talking about today, I mean, it's derived from the comprehensive bestseller ebooks you can find over on the Pitcot ebook store. This isn't just theory.
No, this is practical, tested strategy.
Yeah.
And if you want the full context, maybe the workbooks that go with this advice, you should head over to www.pitcot.com/books. You can download the full materials right now.
And just a quick note before we jump in, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to our channel and make sure you activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. These insights can genuinely redefine a career path.
Okay, let's do this. Let's unpack this shift in mindset. The very first concept Pitcot addresses is defining what this freelance hustle even is. It's so much more than just taking pictures, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's about operating a business where you are the product. Pitcot defines freelance photography as taking complete ownership. You're your own boss, you're your own marketing department, your own creative director.
And the core appeal, as the analysis really emphasizes, is that freedom.
Freedom and flexibility. The material highlights this incredible diversity of work. You could be shooting a high-end commercial product catalog one week.
And then covering, what, a corporate event the next. Or maybe spending a week just generating passive income from stock photography.
Exactly. The core idea is that no 2 days are ever the same, which is, I mean, it's the total opposite of a typical 9-to-5.
But that freedom, it has a gatekeeper, right? And that's the portfolio.
It is. The Pitcot analysis is crystal clear on this. Your portfolio isn't just a gallery of pretty pictures. It is your visual resume. It's your most important sales tool.
And it has to communicate technical skill and commercial reliability, like, instantly.
Instantly. And this is where we really need to dig into the details from the source. It warns against being a sort of digital pack rat. It's so tempting, especially when you're starting, to showcase every single decent picture you've ever taken.
And that is such a rookie mistake.
A huge one. The source stresses being ruthlessly picky. One mediocre image just dilutes the impact of five fantastic ones. We are talking about curating only the images that are technically flawless.
So sharp focus, perfect exposure, compositionally arresting. The kind of stuff that makes people stop scrolling.
Yes. The moment a potential client has to zoom in to check if a shot is blurry, you've lost them. You've lost all credibility.
I think the most important distinction here is between, say, a personal project and a commercial asset. If a photo doesn't show a skill, a client would actually pay for, like, lighting control or great subject interaction. It just shouldn't be in there.
Precisely. And Pitcot suggests using a kind of 80-20 rule. So 80% of your portfolio should highlight your main niche and your technical mastery, but that last 20%, that needs to show your versatility.
So you can handle different lighting, different subjects, different environments. It tells the client you're reliable no matter what they throw at you.
You're not a one-trick pony. Now, here's where the Pitcot analysis gets really human-focused, which I think is brilliant. They recommend including behind-the-scenes content.
Oh, like setup shots or inspiration boards, maybe even some funny bloopers. Why is that so critical for what is, at its heart, a technical job?
It's that human touch. Clients don't just hire a camera, they hire a person. A person they need to collaborate with, sometimes for a whole day or more. Showing your process, your setup, it builds this immediate trust and relatability.
It makes you seem less like a distant, expensive artist and more like an accessible, reliable professional.
And that personality is what makes you memorable in a really crowded marketplace.
Okay, so building that trust is the foundation. But once they trust you, how do you make sure they know exactly what to hire you for? This leads us perfectly into strategy and skills, specifically finding your zone of genius.
This is often the toughest piece of advice for new freelancers to swallow. The smartest move is actually narrowing your focus.
It seems so backward, doesn't it, to like restrict your potential income streams? But the idea is that by finding a niche, you get instant authority.
You do. So instead of being a general photographer who's just fine at everything. You become the expert in one specific area.
Can you give us some of the specific examples Pitcott uses to really illustrate this?
Sure. They suggest exploring really specific niches like, say, food photography, which demands an incredible mastery of lighting and color, or newborn shoots, which require specialized safety training and, frankly, a lot of patience.
Or even fashion editorials, which rely on teamwork and just super fast creativity.
And the economic argument here is, well, it's compelling. Instead of competing on price against every generalist in your city, you're now competing on your unique expertise.
Right. When a client needs amazing food photos for their new menu, they don't just search for a photographer, they search for the best food photographer.
And that position allows you to charge premium rates. Now, Pitcott does acknowledge that exploration is necessary at first. You should shoot widely to find what really, you know, ignites your passion.
And crucially, what brings in that positive, high-value client feedback.
Yes. But once you find that intersection, you have to lean in and own it. That's how you build a real brand identity.
And owning that niche, it demands continuous growth. This is the secret of every successful pro, isn't it?
Mm.
They're always learning.
They are. Photography is a field where trends, tech, and tools are just always changing. So if you stop learning, you are, by definition, falling behind.
That's the reality. So what are the actionable steps Pitcott suggests for that mandatory skill building?
Well, it goes way beyond just passively scrolling through Instagram. It means taking dedicated workshops, reading specialized industry blogs, and really engaging in structured learning.
And the analysis specifically calls out platforms like Skillshare, Udemy, or Masterclass for these technical boosts. This isn't just about theory.
No, it's about mastering the tools that save you time and increase your commercial value. A prime example is mastering post-production software like Lightroom.
So many freelancers underestimate this part.
They do, but mastering a non-destructive workflow in Lightroom, I mean, it can cut your post-production time in half. That doesn't just improve your quality, it directly impacts your profit margin because you can take on more clients.
Or look at something like drone photography. That's a highly specialized skill that opens up incredibly lucrative commercial work. High-end real estate, construction, hospitality marketing.
It's a direct line between a specialized technical skill and premium pricing. That continuous investment in your skills is what separates the hobbyist, who sometimes gets paid, from the full-time professional running a profitable business.
Okay, so we've got the technical mastery, we've got the niche, we've got the portfolio. Now we hit the biggest hurdle for most creatives: getting people to actually notice you. Let's talk networking.
Right. This is the not so glamorous but super important side of the job. Networking isn't just shaking a hand, it's proactive visibility. The analysis is clear. Every successful gig starts with a conversation.
So what are the practical, actionable tips Pitcott offers that go beyond just, you know, handing out a business card?
It's all about being genuinely engaged. Join local photography clubs, not just to show off your work, but to ask for advice and offer help. Go to industry events and be active on social platforms like Instagram.
And not just posting and ghosting.
No, don't just follow your favorite creatives. Authentically comment and DM them. Those interactions, they often lead to referrals or collaborations that turn into paid work.
And you can't overstate the power of online communities. Facebook groups for specific photography niches are, as the source says, gold for staying visible and growing your tribe.
So once that network is established, we face the moment of truth, the hustle to get paid. How does Pitcott recommend approaching those first paying clients?
The key strategy is consistent, targeted outreach. To build momentum fast, you start small but smart. Offer focused mini sessions or maybe discounted rates.
But, and this is a big but, only for the express purpose of building a strong, specific portfolio set with real client testimonials.
Exactly. And don't just wait for the work to come to you. You have to actively reach out to local businesses, restaurants, boutiques, small professional services, who desperately need high-quality content for their websites and social media.
That targeted pitching is often so much more effective than just blindly applying for jobs.
We should also acknowledge the digital marketplaces. Pitcott advises leveraging freelancing platforms like Upwork, Fiverr, or Freelancer to bid on smaller, contained projects.
Yeah, and while the pay on those can be lower, those platforms are vital for building your reputation and getting those first crucial testimonials.
And then there's passive income. Submitting high-quality work to stock photo sites like Shutterstock or Adobe Stock.
Which is a whole different skill set, really. It demands shooting for volume and understanding licensing, but it can be highly profitable over time.
The analysis makes it so clear. The successful freelancer is defined not just by their camera skills, but by their administrative discipline. And this brings us to the reality of the organizational side, which is, I think, the silent killer of creative careers.
We have to talk about it. With being your own boss comes all this responsibility. You're the photographer, the client liaison, the contracts manager, the accountant.
All of it. Managing time, communicating effectively, sending invoices, tracking payments. It's the non-fun part that can lead to immediate burnout if you ignore it.
So what are the tools suggested to fight that administrative chaos? Because a stack of paper invoices is not a business model.
No, it's not. The source material is fantastic here. It suggests dedicated business management tools like HoneyBook or QuickBooks. HoneyBook, for example, it's not just for tracking money. It automates your client communication, contract signing, booking schedules.
It basically takes all those client admin pain points right off your plate.
And that automation is huge. It ensures you look professional and consistent every single time. QuickBooks, on the other hand, is essential for tracking expenses and managing invoicing specifically for tax purposes.
Even a simple, well-structured Google Sheet can be a lifesaver if you actually use it consistently.
And Pitcott really stresses the importance of efficiency above all else. Creating professional templates for your standard emails, your contract, your pricing guides. It's cited as an absolute necessity.
You front-load that admin setup. That way, when you do land that big client, you look and act like a pro from the very first email. Your future, you will thank you for saving those hours every single week.
It's so true. And if you love what we're discussing and you are serious about professionalizing your photography career, you can find even more resources, templates, and materials to help you on your journey. Just check out www.pitcott.com for more.
You know, the value here in the Pitcott Guy isn't just about taking better pictures. It's about building a viable, resilient business around your passion.
We've really covered it all. From defining the job and building that ruthlessly curated visual resume, to finding your specialized zone of genius, committing to continuous learning, mastering networking.
And finally, securing those first paying jobs while staying incredibly organized. The strategic breakdown, it really turns an overwhelming dream into an achievable roadmap.
Freelance photography, it requires heart, hustle, and a whole lot of passion. But by implementing these structured steps, it really can become a sustainable and financially rewarding career.
I think the biggest takeaway is that this is not a passive profession. It takes the business sense of an entrepreneur combined with the eye of an artist.
That's the beauty of it, though.
It is. And remember, every single pro photographer, every person running a six-figure creative business, they started exactly where you are right now, with a dream, a camera, and the courage to try. The hard part is just applying the roadmap. So are you ready to take the shot?
Before we sign off, if this analysis resonated with you and you found these insights valuable, please go ahead and hit that like button. It genuinely helps the recommendation algorithm, and it allows other aspiring photographers to access this guide.
And of course, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and be sure to activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. We really appreciate your support and your attention.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.
Thank you for being there with us.